Good evening, church family. It is an honor to be here and to be a blessing to Pastor Blaylock in this way. It's an honor to preach in his pulpit. It's the highest honor of my life to preach from the words of God. Do you believe that you're holding the words of God in your lap? That's amazing. Just by way of an update, last time I talked to y'all, our house was up for sale by faith. By faith I believe that the Lord called me to preach, called me into the ministry. I didn't know what that entailed, but I was willing. And I said, Jamie, this is what I believe the Lord's doing in our life. And Jamie was willing. Jamie took my hand and said, let's do this. And so we did, and we put the house up for sale by faith, got rid of all of our things by faith, moved into a camper by faith, and ready to head to Oklahoma by faith. And as the Lord does, he often will, just like in the book of Acts, he often changes our path, right? Once we get moving for the Lord, he says, that's fantastic, now I've got something I can work with, and he moves. And then he moves again, and then he moves again. And so I learned of a struggling church out in Clewiston, Florida, on the backside of the lake. The brother Jeff Royal and his wife Jan were basically doing the best they could to keep this struggling church alive, because there's no gospel witness in that small, depressed town of Clewiston, Florida. And so the pastor encouraged me strongly. Ned encouraged me strongly. Brother Ron Maggard encouraged me strongly, said, just go and be a blessing and see what happens with it. And so I did. And so I preached a Sunday morning message, preached a Wednesday night message, and I said, oh, okay, I'm done. I'm maxed out. And they're like, hey, what about next Sunday morning? Can you be here? And so, after that Sunday morning, they said, listen, we got together as a church. They have about 10 members, a small church. And they said, we want you to move into the parsonage and to pastor this church, if that's what you believe the will of God is for you. And so I had 100 reasons. I am not equipped for that. I'm not equipped. But I believe God. And I believe God in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. He says, for we are laborers together with God. I'm a blood-bought, born-again Christian, have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of me, holding the very words of God, preaching to blood-bought, born-again Christian who have the Spirit of God dwelling inside them, God working through me, God working in you, God working among us. I believe that. So I said, yes, Lord, I'll go. And it's been a struggle. And I'm not going to lie to you. It's been a struggle. I am not gifted in the same ways that my Sunday school brother Aubrey is gifted, where he can just take a passage and just make it so sublime and so easy and just spoon feed it to, and I am not gifted in that way. So I struggled, and Sunday morning after my message, I would begin to study, and usually I wouldn't have my Wednesday night message until people were showing up for church on Wednesday. And I would wake up in the morning and hit the floor, and I would be praying, God, help me. I can't do this. God, help me. And God has been faithful. And what's more amazing than that, because I'm not surprised that my God is faithful, is that when I would preach a good message, the people would encourage me. When I would not preach such a good message, the people would encourage me. And it's such a blessing. It's just such a blessing. And so I feel like I have a strong connection with y'all. I feel like I'm probably like the younger brother that y'all have. And it's like, oh, where's the Pickett family? Oh, Robbie's in Montana this month. And so it's in that spirit. I really, truly do feel like a younger brother to a lot of y'all, like Brother Hammond and Mike Chung. And so it's in that spirit that I want to preach to you tonight. I believe God's laid this on my heart for this church, and his word is sufficient. So I want to, as your younger brother, I want to preach God's word to you. So let's turn to our Bible, to our words of God. I originally was going to outline what we read and basically preach a 7-point sermon on the first 7 verses of this chapter, and it would be easy to do. But as I was working through this, God began to work in my heart. It's an amazing passage. But I just really want to focus on this verse 7, the first 2/3 of the verse. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Let me begin with a story, an illustration from my real life. It's not a made-up story like most pastors make up. This is real life. So in my house, I have 3 animals. I've got a cat and 2 dogs. My cat's name is DJ, Double Jinx, and my dog is Scout and Princess Buttercup. These 3 animals, I've got 3 different, very different relationships with. My cat, I enjoy picking the cat up and petting her. She doesn't always enjoy it, and she will be everything from ambivalent to just outright attack me, right? She doesn't want to deal with it sometimes. My dog Scout prefers to be outside looking at squirrels, barking at pedestrians, whatever. But doesn't mind when I come over and pet her. If I call her, she'll come, but she doesn't make any special effort to come to me, right? My third animal, Princess Buttercup, my dog, we rescued her from the pound. And she, for whatever reason, I don't love her all that especially much, but she loves me. If I'm standing in the house, if I'm standing outside or whatever, she will walk up next to me and put her head under my hand so that my hand is resting on her head. And that'll lead me obviously to pet her and scratch her belly. If I'm praying during our family prayer time, and I'm bent over like this, Princess Buttercup will come up and stick her nose right in my face, because touching noses is a sign of affection, I guess. So when I wake up in the middle of the night, I can't just hop out of bed because Princess Buttercup sleeps on my side of the bed. Now, all 3 of these animals, they all dwell in my pasture. All 3 of these animals, I literally rescued them. The dogs from the pound and the cat from underneath our shed. I'm the one that made the call with, are we going to keep them or not? Literally, they're mine, 100%. My money feeds them. And yet I've got 3 very different relationships. I just want you to keep that picture in mind as we go through these scriptures. Let me just reread that 2/3 of verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. That's the outline right there. So I really want to dwell on point number 3, the sheep of his hand. So I'm going to go quickly through the first 2 points, and then we're going to dwell on that sheep of his hand. Point number 1, he is our God. What more can we say about that? In these verses here, we see our God in verse 3 is a king above all gods. In verse number 4, his hands control the deep places and the high hills also, right? He is the creator in verse 5. Verse 6, he is our maker. Verse 7, he provided the pasture that we dwell in. That's amazing. And because of all of that, we can, verse 1, we can sing unto our God. We can make a joyful noise. From verse 1, we see that God is the rock of our salvation. Verse 7, he is the one that provided our pasture. Verse 1, we see eternal life. Verse 7, we see our daily life. And in that, we can rejoice in everything that we have. And point to our benevolent God, our God. We don't own our God like some folks own an idol, but we own him as our God. Amen. Point number 2 in your outline there in verse 7, we are the people of his pasture. We are the people of his pasture. The pasture doesn't only speak of provision, though it does. A pasture also speaks of bounds. Pastors are God-ordained boundaries, and we all have God-ordained boundaries in our lives. People have lived in all different cultures and all different times, all for the glory of God by His ordain, His divine ordination. Here in this place, we currently live in America in the Laodicean church age. If God ordained that we lived here in America in 1730, we would live in America during the Great Awakening. Amazing. God ordained that we would live here in this time. We are bound by time. God is not bound, but we are. Like I said, here we live in America. We live in the within the confines of the American church, so to speak. God ordained that you would be born here versus Iran or China or India. We are bound by location. There's all different pastures, and the shepherd chooses the pasture. It's his choosing for his purposes. In John chapter 10 is the great chapter on the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. In John chapter 10, 3 through 4, Jesus calls his sheep out. He leads them out, and he it is that goes before them. This pasture, we are called out of the world. The people of his pasture are called out of the world. There's a truth that when you're called out of the world, that you can be changed and then begin to grow immune, because though he called us out of this world, he didn't remove us from this world. So there's a truth that you can begin to get immune to this world. So the way that I would liken it is, this world is essentially a giant cesspool. Take the lid off your septic tank, and that is, in the sight of God, that is what this world is. If you don't like it, that is what this world is. Jesus, God is like a barge, and Jesus came to pull us up out of the mire of this cesspool, the mire of this world, to cleanse us with his blood, to clothe us with his righteousness, and to put us up on this barge. But the truth is, like anything, you can ask any garbage man, we live right next to a mill that has a special aroma to it. Eventually you get immune to that. And if you don't think that's true, drive down I-95 when you leave here and look at the billboards on the way past 45th Street. Do they still shock you? They should. How about when you walk into Publix? Does that big long liquor section at a grocery store, does that shock you anymore? It should. That whole section of liquor and wine, that's sending people to hell. And most of us don't even care. Some of us are partaking in it ourselves. How about the commercials on your TV shows or the ads before the movies that you watch at the movie theater? Have those stopped shocking you? So what I'm saying is Jesus is like this, God is like this big barge in the midst of this cesspool. He's pulled us out and ordained that we would be removed from this world, not out of this world, but we would be freed from the filth of this world. But sometimes Christians, they just like to, they get immune to the smell, and they get a little closer to the edge, closer to the edge, closer to the edge, and they just, you know, I remember those days, and they just want to smell the smell. Maybe reach over and dip their fingers in, right? Not me. I don't want to be that way. I want to be right in the dead center with Jesus Christ, my Lord. I want to be the sheep of his hand. I want to be next to my Lord. The first point was, he is our God. The second point was, we are the people of his pasture. And there in your verse, the third point is, the sheep of his hand. And this is where I want to dwell. My kids, we live in the city now, not like in Okeechobee, we're kind of in the country. And my kids can go to the playground, which is adjacent from our house, and I can see them, and they can be in my sight. But even if I saw danger and yelled at them, they would never hear me. They're in sight of the shepherd, so to speak. If I kept them in my yard, they would be in earshot, but I wouldn't be able to help them if a car or a drunk driver or if I saw a nefarious fellow. But if they're up on the porch, if Caroline is up on her rocking horse on the porch while I'm studying. She is in my hand, so to speak. She is in my protection. And that's how I want to be with my Lord. Psalm 23 is that great shepherd psalm. And Jesus is the one that is my shepherd. He chooses the pastures. And there are two pastures in Psalm 23. There's green pastures, and then there's that valley of the shadow of death. It's the shepherd that chooses those pastures. I can trust because the word tells me that thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Jesus didn't send his disciples into the valley of the shadow of death alone. He said that he would be there. His rod and his staff are there for direction and protection. And it's such a picture of intimacy and trust. And they're the tools of his hand that he would use to direct me. So where is Jesus' hand today? Where is Jesus' pasture? For me and Jamie, and for the Pickett family, that pasture, Jesus' hand has led us to Clewiston, Florida. If you want to know where Jesus' hand is, if you want to draw near to Jesus, I think that you'll find Jesus in Matthew 4:19, where he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I don't think that Jesus wants us to be the frozen chosen, right? I think if you want to draw near to Jesus, if you want to be a sheep of his hand, I think that you'll agree with John 4:35, where he says to lift up your eyes and look on the fields. That's the pasture. Look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. There's a harvest. God has a harvest out there. And he's saying, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes from your base things that are so captivating you. Your jewelry and your entertainment and the things that you're striving after, your overtime shifts that you can pick up so that you can bang out that extra money so that you can go on these lavish vacations. Lift up your eyes. Look to higher things, and you'll see that the fields are white unto harvest. I heard some statistics this week that 75% of Americans live in what's considered a small town. 75% of 330 million people live in a small town. That would be roughly 248 million people live in a small town. Imagine if Beacon Baptist Church, I said Beacon Baptist Church, that's us that are sitting in this room, lifted up our eyes from our stuff, and we looked unto the fields, and we followed Jesus, and he made us fishers of men. Imagine what we can do in a small town America. There is a Bible truth that if you begin to love Jesus, you begin to love God's word, that he truly begins to change your affections, and you begin to love people. You begin to despise your things. We, as God's people, should be seeing small towns as the mission field. In small town America, drug dealers have saw that as their mission field. 50 years ago, small towns was where you escaped big city life, big city problems. The big cities was depression, prostitution, drugs. Where do we find all that stuff today? Small towns. Currently in America, it's estimated that 13 churches close their doors every day. 13 churches every single day. Meanwhile, the drug dealers, the cults, they're invading. The cults, they've got big financial backing. But it's our responsibility to go. Go ye. That ye, that you is plural. Go ye into all the world, right? Healthy organisms reproduce. Beacon Baptist Church is reproducing right now in Clewiston, Florida. But where else could Beacon Baptist Church be reproducing? If you, a Sunday school teacher, would get God's burden and leave Beacon Baptist Church, somebody else will fill your spot. I'm not recruiting from Beacon Baptist Church to come to Clewiston. But what about New England, all the small towns and the villages up there? What about the coal miner towns in West Virginia? What about the entirety of everything west of the Mississippi? All the small towns that will never see a congregation above 50 people, but you could go there, you could turn wrenches for a living, and you could just bring God's word to a hungry, thirsty, dying world that's on its way to hell, rather than enjoying God's material pleasures here, looking down at your things here. The Lollards, John Wyclef, lived in the 1300s, and he did just that. He believed that it was God's word that would set the world free. And he instituted a Bible training program, basically, and he just simply trained young men like Austin that were not married, and they would hand scrabble down portions of the New Testament, and they would just simply go out to the highways and the byways. They would go to these little small hamlets, little tiny towns, and they would preach. And they would preach, and they would be martyred. And they would be martyred, and they would preach. And they would hand scrabble their New Testament, and they would go out, and they would simply carry God's word. And the blood of the Lollards was the seeds of the Protestant Reformation that changed the world forever. It was the word of God. I'm not bashing scholarship, but there's a prevailing thought today that says that you have to have a doctoral degree, that you have to be... If you are pastoring a small church of 10 families, you can get it as you go. I'm getting it as I go. I'm struggling, but I believe, 1 Corinthians 3:9, that God is in the ministry with me, for we are laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3:9. You could do the basic work. Children, young people, I'm encouraging you. Don't strive after a life of mediocrity like our parents did. Don't strive for the things of this world. Every generation could say that the days are short, but it's true that the days have never been shorter. So we need to, as God's people, as God's church, get in the game. God has a purpose for you. He will redeem your days, and he will labor with you in his work. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And I just want to summarize with a two-minute final point. The entire end of that chapter speaks about the wilderness experience. Today, if you will hear his voice, verse 8, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. So my last and final, very brief point is this. Intermingled in God's people wandering through the wilderness were faithful men like Joshua and Caleb, and they trusted that God would provide for their daily life, and he did, with manna from heaven, with water from rocks. But intermingled with those faithful were those that left Egypt with an eye towards the promised land. They had no regard towards the hand of their creator, towards the hand of their God. They just wanted the material blessings that would come. But I want to encourage you today that God is not mocked. God sees our hearts, right? And Jesus Christ says in John 12, one of my favorite verses, he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And so which one among us can't go to a small town and lift up Jesus Christ from this earth? He was lifted once. We can lift him again with our testimonies, with our lives like we're attempting to do now. Time is running out, and I want to be a sheep of God's hand. Answer the call. Small towns need us. And I'm done. I just want to read to you Isaiah 40. This is, as I desire to be a sheep of God's hand, Isaiah 40, verses 10 through 12 is my vision. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out the heaven with a span? That sounds a lot like the passages that we just read here in Psalm 95. That is our God. We can rejoice in him. We can sing praises to him. We can serve him with our whole life. And God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for condescending to work in my life, Lord. I thank you so much for being the God of my pasture. Lord, I thank you for this message that you've laid on my heart, Lord, and I thank you for the patience of my brothers and sisters here, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, I believe that you're working in hearts in this room, God, and I just pray that spark that I hopefully ignited tonight, Lord, that they would nurture it and that they would do what you've laid on their heart right now, God. I pray that they would be bold and that they would step out in faith, trusting that you'll work with them. In Jesus' name.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.